It's good to see you, and thank you for welcoming me. Dr. Richard, thank you so much for welcoming me. When you knew that I was coming, you put me on a program. And I want to also thank all the Walk Uganda team. Come on. Come on, Jesus. And of course, everybody, thank you for coming over. And David Baslington, thank you very much for being chatting all the time on email, putting things together for me, trying to work on my logistics, you know, kind of thing. But it all worked well. And for my brother, Peter, can you stand up, Peter, and wave to us? Thank you. Peter has been a good friend of mine for many years. We've now become brothers. He's Ugandan, living in UK. He's a nurse by profession. And his home is my little base when I come over here. So I move to places and back to him. Places back to him. So it's a little inconvenience to him, but I know what it means, but he loves doing it for me. So when you go to country, to a foreign country, you need people like Peter. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So that's really powerful. Thank you very much. Where do I start? My name is David Katende, definitely. I'm married to, because now things are being redefined. So we also have a different introduction. So I'm married to a female wife, one wife. Because marriage is no longer the same these days. And we have three children. Rebecca, who is 15, Moses, 12, and Jochebed, the little girl. That name is not very familiar to many people, but Jochebed was the mother of Moses. So we have Moses and Jochebed, the mother and the son in the house. So Jochebed is the little girl. And my wife's name is Flavia. And it has been a really wonderful experience. I gave my life when I was 15 years old. I grew up in the Anglican church. Church of Uganda, and I gave my life when I was 15 years, and since then, I've walked with the Lord. I'm now 43 years, big time in Christ. It's a big challenge, especially when you're growing up young man. It's not easy, but the Lord has been with me through until he called me to serve him. And when I look back through all the things I've been through, it has been a good preparation. It has been really tough, but when you look back, it is what has made me what I am. Praise the Lord. I just pray that you understand really my accent, because English is my second language, so you may struggle a little bit, just as I struggle sometimes with you when you're talking. So getting here is a miracle, because getting visas in our country is not really easy. So I don't take it for granted. I thank God, because they've always given me a visa. All these years I've been coming over. But others, you know, have been stopped. Even those who have been here before have been stopped. But the Lord has been so gracious. I really thank him for that. And all the provision has given me to come over here. In 2014, I think it was 2013, when I came over here and I met Jim from Warrington, Witness. And he said, We normally come to Uganda, big team, but we don't have any contact in Kampala. Kampala is our capital. So we don't have any contact there, but we struggle a little bit, because when we come, we have to drive a long way from town and, you know, into the country. And when we're coming back, we have to drive from the country to the airport. So would you like to welcome us to your place in Kampala? Because our church is in the suburbs of Kampala. I said, yeah. I said, how many are you? Because I thought we were just three people. And I learned there were about 12 people coming. It has never happened to me. But anyway, 2014, they came. We were overwhelmed. When you see English people, 12 people together, it's like there are 100 people in the village. You know, but it was good. They came over. It was our first experience to host such a big team of missionaries. And they did a great job. Jim really did a good job. He was the leader by then. He did a good job. Then 2015, then Richard Scott, led the team. Fantastic leader. Now that he's here, come up, clap for him. Yeah. And of course, Jim in absentia. You can clap for him because it's not good. Come and clap for Jim in absentia. They did a great job, really, during those years. It was a great experience. And then 2016, we got Sid O'Neill. There. Can you wave to us? Come and clap for him as well. He's here. And all the people that have been coming, of course, if I mention all the names, then that would be my sermon. So, but of course, they stood up, so you know who they are. And we thank God for all the evangelism they've done. We've seen great impact ever since. And our community never remained the same because they reached out to our people, door-to-door evangelism. We've done crusades, as you can see on the screen up there. There are lots of scriptures. You can see people seated there. That's one of the ministers. Like, you can see me there, maybe. This last time they've been, they phoned us because we need more room for the ministry and all the things I'm going to talk about. They phoned us when we were on that level, in that building, and I was really stuck. I didn't know what to do. We had put on the roof, but then we didn't know how to put in the windows, the plastering and all that. But when the team came, see what they did, you know, and the inside. It has been fully wired with electricity, and the plaster is done. The work is moving. Clap for Boko Uganda team. We've baptized many people, and you know, after the mission, and like Richard was saying, sometimes you preach the gospel and you're discouraged because you see only one person giving their life to Christ, and you're discouraged. But let me tell you something: never be discouraged, because the seeds have been sown, and sometimes they come up later. So up to now, we see the impact of your coming, because we keep seeing new people showing up in church. And so we do several baptism services quite several times. And like, one, you see, there was one evangelist. He preached in one village, and one young boy gave his life to Christ. And when the next Sunday, the pastor said, "Does anybody want to be baptized?" A few people stood. And the father told his son, "You go and tell the pastor you also want to be baptized." So the son came to the pastor and said, "I want to be advertised." Because he did not catch up the word very well. But I think we've advertised a few people after you left. Because that's when people really confirm that they've accepted Christ, when they take that step, you know, to get baptized. And last time we baptized 24 of them. We said 25 because there was one young lady who was really pregnant, and we thought there was a spirit in her body, so we count also that one was baptized. So altogether 25. And they are coming to church, and we're still realizing more people coming. So and many other things that they've done in our community. We had a football match when Sid came over. And before the football match, we have some bikes, you know, going on in border borders. We call them border borders, small bikes for transport. So Sid is a biker, and he said, "I'm going to get on one of those," and all the team, because he was the leader, said, "Everybody on the bike now." So they had to sit on these small bikes, and they're riding through the village. Oh, Muzungu. Muzungu is a name for the white man, you know. Muzungu on a border, we've never seen this before. So they... And Sid was leading the team, and everybody got attracted, and we had this announcer. You see, this is Bazungu, they are here. So after this ride, we are going to the football. We have a football match, big football match, and we're going to be there. Everybody come, everybody come. So we had a football match, and everybody was there. So the team started evangelizing. So that was a good thing for our church, you know, a good relationship with the community. And we had a Muslim team. You know, that we are, you know, are playing with. And guess what was the prize for the winner? A goat. So after the match, they you know, it had to go for barbecue. It was a live goat. So anyway, my prayer was the Muslims win so that they feel, so that we have that, we begin from there. Anyway, they won. And they told me, "Pastor, thank you very much for organizing this. And if you can only get us the T-shirts, write on the name of your church so that wherever we go, we advertise your church." So if you have any T-shirts there, please get them so that they can. so they can advertise our church. But that's really good because that has given us good reputation in the community. Martin Luther said, any gospel that does not solve a social need is no gospel. So we reach out to these communities and see what is really needed, and we work with them and see if we can sort a few things with them. Now, the power of the first church, I'll give you more testimony as I go on in this shortest possible time. I'll try to be English. But somebody said, I think God is an African God because he never keeps time. Have you ever prayed to God and he answers the next day when you really want him today and he waits for another, then the answer comes 1 month after? Is he not African? And that's why everybody hates these scriptures. Wait on the Lord. For us, it's easy to wait because things never come in time. So we wait on the Lord. We find it easy. But the power of the first church lied in the sending capacity. Now, it's different this day that the power of our churches now is in seating capacity. When somebody will ask you, how many people do you have in your church? 1,000 people. Powerful church. How many have you got? 2,000. Powerful church. Now, the first church could not do that, could not say that, because their power lied in the sending capacity. How many people are you able to send out? So that's why I really cherish the TFM. Thank you for sending out people, because that there lies your power in God. When we send out many people, then we are like the first church. That's very important, because every sitting member must be sent out, and that's really important. So whoever is just seated there, make sure you go out, because that's when we fulfill the great commission that Jesus gave us. Amen. Matthew 28:18. You know that's the great commission from Jesus. It said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And look, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Making disciples of all nations. That's very important. We need to move to nations and make them disciples. Now, we have two gospels, as I'm going to share with you. We have the kingdom gospel and the salvation gospel. And we've done a great job in salvation gospel that talks about mainly saving souls and sending them to heaven. That is really important. It's our mandate. But there's one thing that I see and I observe in church, but there are certain areas that we have forsaken as evangelists, as preachers of the word. We forget about the political and the kings. We tend to go to the lower people because they're easy to convert. But God also loves politicians. He loves all these other people. And he loves nations. When he says nations, we need to find, when we go evangelizing, we need to know the soul of every nation, because every nation has got a soul. And the soul of every nation lie in the politicians, because they control the country. They pass rules in parliament. They do certain things that affect the nation. So we need also to lay strategies to reach out to the leaders, political leaders, other in African setting, even kings, not just citizens, simple citizens and easy people, but we need to lay strategies to reach out to the leaders, political leaders as well, because they make rules for us. At the end of the day, we suffer and then we cry. So we need to convert them. When Paul was called in Acts, where is Acts now? When Paul was called, when he was sent out, he said, I'm going to use him as a vessel to the Gentiles, kings, and Israel. And who are the kings? These are the political leaders. We need to reach out to them in the name of Jesus as well. Amen? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is so powerful. In Psalms 19, verse 7, the Bible says that I'll just quote them because of time. 19:7 says, "The word of the Lord, the law of the Lord is powerful, converting the soul." When you preach the word of God, when we share the word of God, when we share the testimony that God has given us, those testimonies, the word of God is so powerful that souls can be converted. Even souls of nations can be converted. So we should not be ashamed like Paul. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to save unto salvation. So let us be strong. Let us not be ashamed. We are living in the day when Christians are so weak, we are so ashamed, we are being shut down by the politicians and all these leaders by not speaking about Christ. But we are not going to shut up. We are not going to sit down. We shall speak about Christ and we shall not be ashamed. If it means going to prison, we are going to prison. Is anybody ready to go to prison for Christ? I think that's the first church we're talking about. We must maintain that momentum. Not lose our faith. Not be ashamed of the gospel. Because the devil doesn't give up until he knows you are not giving up. Did you catch that? Because when he knows you are shrinking and giving up and sinking, then he prevails. But when he knows that you are not giving up, then he gives up. So I came to encourage you. What you're doing is right. And Jesus said, look, I am with you. And as long as you are with Christ, you are safe. Amen. You see, we are living a day where, that's why church is growing up in China and Syria and in these other places, because there's persecution. But because God has given us the freedom and all the riches and all the things that we have, we tend to give up. I'm not calling for persecution, but we need to wake up anyway. When Idi Amin, all of you, I think, know about Idi Amin. He's one of those dictators of the world. He's now dead. Somebody asked me, oh, how are you managing with Idi Amin? I said, he's already dead. Some people don't know that he's gone. You see, all those mighty potents are gone while the word of God is still standing. So Idi Amin stopped the church in Uganda in the 70s and said, no more church, no more Christians. And then the church had to go underground. And they started praying so hard. That's when the church was so active. We saw revival until he was thrown out of power and he went into exile. But now when we have a lot of peace around us, we tend to forget about the power of the gospel. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. Be strong and let us pray. And let us not hear about whatever things we hear about trying to suppress the gospel. This is the time the church must stand up and share the gospel with no fear at all. Amen? One of the things that we do in Uganda, I want to share this testimony with you, one of the things that God is doing, we have this big vision of transforming our country. Maybe when I share this, you also capture a few things, how you can also evangelize Britain and many other nations that God is sending you to. Our vision, first of all, is to see that we evangelize the whole nation, because we have this prophecy with us that God wants to visit Uganda and bring great revival in Uganda. But when he spoke to us, he said, through this prophecy, he said, I'm not coming until all the altars of the evil one have been destroyed. It's your mandate. I'll give you the power, but it's your mandate to go and destroy all the altars, because God is a God of jealousy. He won't come to places where other idols are worshipped. So what we're doing now, we're moving around the country, reaching out to leaders, politicians, kings, and religious leaders, putting them together, praying together. But this is the strategy. This is how we did. Because you cannot just go and reach out to people, just preach, and you think you are going to have a breakthrough. It doesn't go without sacrifice. Because the level of your sacrifice in God determines your level of operation, or your level of authority. If you are not giving any sacrifice unto God, then your level of operation will be very low. Because we are fighting against principalities and rulers. One time we had a men's conference, because one of the things that God has called me to do is to bring men back to him. That's why you've seen this book, Men, Where Are You? Down there. A few copies left. So we organized these meetings. But then, when we go out there, we reach out to the leaders, politicians, kings, religious people, and we put them together for God. But then we have to pray and fast. Because when you don't give when you don't give such sacrifice unto God, offer your body as a sacrifice, your level of operation will be low. Because we are fighting against principalities. So in this men's conference house we are organizing, in the night, as we are sleeping, we saw kind of spirits holding men. Men wanted to come to the conference, but this was in a vision. Then they were holding them, don't go in the meeting, don't go in the conference. And I woke up my fellow pastor whom we organized these meetings. I said, we need to pray. I've just seen this vision. And then we prayed. So when we go and reach out to people, the evil one that we always fight against, I know in this country you don't recognize that because the enemy in this country is a little subtle. You may not easily recognize him. You know what I mean? But we are fighting against principalities. And there are sacrifices that are made for those spirits to operate. But you are not aware because we study nations. In my country, I've been recruited to one of those people that are being discipled how to disciple nations. So we study how nations are and what kind of spirits hold them and the souls of nations. So there are evil spirits that hold people from coming to Christ. They are so resistant. You reach out to people and they are so resistant to the gospel. So if your level of sacrifice is lower than the evil ones, then breakthrough will be very little. There won't be great impact. But when we give ourselves fully to God, then we will see greater impact. So we go around reaching out to kingdoms and leaders. Amazingly, all most of the kings in Uganda, wherever we've been, they've dedicated their land back to God because they are dedicated their land and their people to gods, but now to one God. We've been to Hoima, Bunyoro Kingdom, we've been to Busoga Kingdom. We are not yet in Buganda Kingdom, but we've been to the Elgon side in the eastern Uganda, and all of them have rededicated their kingdoms back to God. And one of those days, our president endorsed all the witches in the public stadium, and one of our biggest stadium, and he endorsed them, the witches. Then our bishop approached him because we are called unto kings, and he told him, what you did is wrong. You need to repent, Mr. President. He said, me? President? The president doesn't repent to people. But they had, you know, some talk about it, and he said, okay, I made a mistake, but I'm repenting from here. Can you lead me to repentance now? And the bishop said, no, not here. You did it in the stadium. You have to go and repent in the stadium. He said, Joshua, I am the president. He said, yes, Mr. President, you got to go to the... They had a talk about it, and then he agreed. So he went to the stadium before everybody, and he confessed, and he rededicated Uganda back to God from the witches. Praise the Lord. You see, when the president speaks, that's why we need to reach out to the influential and the affluent. Because when you reach them and change them, it is very easy for others to fall. If the president is repenting, what am I doing? I think I need to repent too. So that's one of the campaigns we've been doing. It is not easy, but there are no easy things in the kingdom. And the Bible doesn't advertise easy life anyway. So we are uniting tribes in Uganda and kingdoms and petition, teaching them to fear God and lead God His way. Because we have a lot of politicians in leadership, yet we need leadership in politicians. It's very important. And the Lord said, wherever you go, I'll show my presence with you. I'll demonstrate that I'm with you. So when we are in Jinja and many other places, I'll give you just a few testimonies. We are in Jinja, those who know Uganda. And so we are there. We had a big convocation with all the kingdoms and all the politicians were there. Then the Lord showed up because He promised that I'll be with you. I'll confirm my presence with a strong wind. So the wind came so strong that swept all the town. There's a lot of dust in Africa, in Uganda. So there was a lot of dust, and we knew He has shown up. Then the wind went through the highway back to Kampala. But in the middle of Jinja and Kampala, there's a very big idol, Indian idol, shrine. Very big shrine with a big Indian idol. All Indians come and worship there. And that's the principality in the area that is holding people. So the wind went, hit the shrine and the idol, and caught fire, and everything was destroyed. Praise the Lord. We are in Mkono district, because the Lord is showing us where these strongholds are. and 23 shrines caught fire. This is where the witches are. 23 of them caught fire 15 minutes to midnight every day. 23 of them. And we're in another district. Then there was thunder and lightning. There was an idol. There was a tree that was being worshipped. And the spirits were there. So there was thunder and lightning. It came and we are there praying. And thunder and lightning came and hit the tree. And it was destroyed. Now the president's daughter said, I can't bear this. I want to come and see what's happening. So she came and camped with us for 3 days. See what the Lord is doing. So the Lord, don't think the Lord has grown weak. It's his people that have grown weak. When you rise up in power and in faith, things will happen. Britain will go back and worship one God. Hallelujah. So don't grow weary. Keep going. And it is in this campaign that we made, I'm not supposed to say this, but I can give a little testimony about it. That's when we met Jaffa. The team has met Jaffa. Jaffa is Idi Amin's son. And he was struggling with life, though he comes from this dictator's, great dictator family. And so I was in charge of caring for our visitors, for accommodation and all that. So I put him in one of the best rooms in the hotel where we slept, because Idi Amin's son, you know, we put him there. We wanted to honor him. And in the night, he was struggling. He was really struggling and he didn't know what to do. So he came and knocked my door. He's such a massive man. He knocked on my door and said, I was a little scared. I was meeting him for the first time. I was a little scared of Idi Amin's son. And he knocked and he said, I'm tired of my life. I don't have peace. When I look at you, I admire you. When I see you, you have peace in your face. How do you do that? Who has given you that peace? And I said, Jesus, of course. And said, I need him. Now, this is staunch Muslim. Idi Amin is a principality in the Islamic world. So his son, to say that he needed Jesus, he calls him Yeshua. He said, pray for me. And nobody told him, but he knelt down. We went in his room. He knelt down by himself, and he was sobbing. He was crying. We prayed for him, and he gave his life to Christ. Amen. And when now he comes with us on our convocations and he speaks to people, God has given him he's repenting on behalf of his father, the atrocities he made. So he's repenting on behalf of his father and asking forgiveness because he says he has no peace and he doesn't know the future of his children because of what his father did. But we go covert. We don't bring him up like, you know, I'm born again because the next time he will be. So you know what I mean? But he comes to our church. The bishop has given him to me to disciple him and build him up. And he's growing. And when I get busy with things, he says, I need to come for fellowship. I said, please come. And he's growing in the Lord. So we thank God for that. So we need to reach out to all those people. And as I look forward to finish now, it is so important that we reach out to leaders. We're combating corruption in our country, for instance, because people steal a lot of money. And at the end of that day, our hospitals, Sid was in our hospital, our major hospital, and the team, of course, and he couldn't believe what he was looking at. People on the floor, women giving birth on the floor, you know, everywhere, total mess, because someone has decided to eat all the money. So what if we don't disciple politicians and tell them what they're doing is wrong, these things will continue. If one person is converted, if health minister is converted to Christ and begins to fear the Lord, then we will see things change in hospitals, ministry of education, then we see education changing and many other things. That's why we must reach out to leaders because they can do a lot to the rest of the citizens. So that is very important. And I encourage people to go into these 7 spheres of influence: governance, business, family, faith, education system, media, art and entertainment. We need to go into the 7 spheres. Christians involve in the 7 spheres. Because for many years, the church has been preaching evacuation kind of gospel. We're going to heaven. We are going to heaven. The next day, we are going to heaven. And we are preparing people to go, which is really okay. I believe in that 100%. But Jesus said, occupy till I come. So after these people have been converted, we need to make them occupy. We need to get involved in business. We need to get involved in governance. We need to get involved in education system and many other things. Because whoever controls these seven spheres of influence controls the rest of the world. So the church must go into these seven spheres. That's why our brothers, I call them our brothers, they are eating Europe and the rest of the world. Do you know why? They are preaching occupational gospel. We are eating the world. We are taking the world. And the church is preaching, we are living. We are living. So how God will give you the power when you are living the next day? The point is, we are going to heaven, but we need to occupy. He said in Luke chapter 19, verse 13, occupy till I come. So get involved. And you know what? Teach the children. I've loved, you know, when you come and reach to our children, and I've seen ministers in schools. You see, the future of Britain is no longer in you. Richard was saying, who's younger than me? And I think I was the only one, maybe with my other sister there. So the future of Britain is no longer in you. The future of Britain is in your children. So what are you doing to prepare your children? That's why what we're doing in Uganda. That's why we started a school at our church with Christian curriculum. It's called Accelerated Christian Education. America used it for many years and made what America is now. So we started that school and it's growing. We started with my own children, but now all the parents want to bring in. Because the government curriculum, for instance, in our church, they teach the brain and the hands. And you know what that has done to our country? People use their brain to steal everything from government. They use their brain to steal their hands. But in our school, we teach now with the Christian values, we teach the head, the heart, and the hands. So people have the heart for their nation. So that corruption, if one of our children one day becomes the leader of Uganda, the whole country will be blessed. And of course, the rest of the world. So whatever you do, make sure that you mentor our children. Because the future of our country is no longer in us. It is in our children. The only thing we can do now for the future is to prepare them to see our countries as God-fearing and really good. You know, if you can prepare our children. Now, we have also started a vocational training center. Thank God for Christopher and Claire. Where's Christopher? Christopher is there. And Claire, they worked so hard. They gave us the sewing machines. And Alfie's not there now. Some of the pictures did not come up. So we started because we need to equip our people. When you preach to people, they have been through stealing and through clubs. When they come to church and you preach them and tell them you are going to heaven and they are not going the next day, what they do, they go back because they don't have skills. So we are giving them skills so that the church can be relevant to the community, to the communities as well. Amen. So we really thank God for that. And my prayer is that we continue to minister with great charisma. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Continue speaking to people and speak about Christ. Talk about what he can do. Continue sowing seeds. You never know what God can do with those seeds. Keep speaking. And TFM, you've done a good job. Keep going. And all the partners who put in their money, because these things cannot happen without money. Sometimes we are shy about money, but I've come not to be shy about money because I've seen I need it every day to make things move, to make things possible. So we need to pray for our partners who support us in everything that we do. Sometimes we are filled up with the Spirit of God, but the pocket is empty and we can't move to places. I have to pay for my ticket coming over. I have to pay for my visa. I have to look after my family, so I can't be there. Poverty is something no good. So we need money every day to make things go. Amen. So thanks to the supporters and financiers in TFM, to all the missions we've done. And I pray that God will give you more and more so that we can send more and more. Because how will they go without being sent? Father God in heaven, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to speak to your people. Thank you for the word that you gave us and the Great Commission. We are living the day when we are a little shy about that Great Commission. But thank you for these ones, because they are not ashamed of the gospel. I remember when they came to Uganda, we were in the elections, and it was a little scary to go in the country, but they did not hesitate, but they went. Thank you for the bold hearts that you've given us to carry on with your work. Bless all the leaders and the trustees of TFM and those, Heavenly Father, that are involved in going out. Father, we pray that you recruit more and more laborers into your vineyard, because the harvest is plentiful, but we still few. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the money. Thank you for the courage to go out. Bless Britain, bless Uganda, and the entire world, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.